Picture Baltimore, gripped by recession, many of its citizens out of work. The president-elect, on his way to Washington to be inaugurated, intends to have his train stop in the monumental city. Then he changes his plans. No, we're not talking Baltimore 2009. It's Baltimore 1861. The president-elect is Abraham Lincoln. The election of an anti-slavery president, far from triggering a bipartisan wave of hope, has sparked the secession of 7 southern states. Baltimore, south of the Mason-Dixon line, is a hotbed of Confederate sympathizers. What happens next is laid out in detail by lawyer Michael J. Klein in his new book, The Baltimore Plot, the first conspiracy to assassinate Abraham Lincoln. Michael Klein joins us by phone. Welcome to Maryland Morning.
Thank you, Sheila, for inviting me.
Before we talk about the plot, let's set this part of the scene. What's different about travel and security for the 44th president compared to the 16th president?
Well, I'd say first and foremost, and the most obvious thing, is that in 1861, there was no Secret Service. Ironically, the night Abraham Lincoln was shot, the legislation to create the Secret Service sat waiting for his signature on his desk. In 1861, Abraham Lincoln traveled to Washington with a few handpicked military officers, a few friends, and unbeknownst to him at the time, a private detective named Alan Pinkerton, who was undercovering secessionist plots to assassinate him in Baltimore.
Is there also a difference in expectations? Because when Lincoln was elected, no U.S. president had been assassinated, correct?
That's correct. He was the first. In fact, he would question his security people and just ask them, rhetorically, why would anyone want to assassinate me? They might end up with someone worse. A very logical way of looking at it, but unfortunately not very realistic.
So, bottom line, no reason to think that in talking about a plot against Lincoln, we're talking about something that might happen today.
Well, no, I think President-elect Obama's security detail is going to be all over his trip to Washington. Unlike in Lincoln's time, there are going to be helicopters in the air, there will be boats in the water, there will be policemen at every tunnel and bridge crossing, and plenty of things that you or I couldn't possibly know about or think about, because these are very intensive security measures that the Secret Service just won't share with people, and they shouldn't.
That's lawyer and author Michael Klein here on Maryland Morning on WYPR. I'm Sheila Kast, and we're talking about his book, The Baltimore Plot, The First Conspiracy to Assassinate Abraham Lincoln. Now, many Marylanders know that Abraham Lincoln basically skulked through Baltimore, that he left the Lincoln Special, the train that was supposed to bring him to Baltimore, that he arrived in disguise on an earlier train in the middle of the night, transferred to another train, ended up in Washington before dawn. But you quote Lincoln writing, "I could not believe that there was a plot to murder me." So what convinced him to make all those last-minute changes in his itinerary?
In Lincoln's case, he had two separate intelligence sources from two independent detectives that concluded the same thing and revealed to him virtually identical evidence at almost the identical point in time. The first of those sources, of course, was Alan Pinkerton, who was the famous Chicago detective. The second source was a New York City detective named John Kennedy, John A. Kennedy. Second, at every previous overnight stop that Lincoln visited, he would have a delegation from the next city present to meet him. The night before he was to go through Baltimore, he was expecting, when he visited Harrisburg, to be met there by a Baltimore delegation. And indeed, he told his protectors, he told Alan Pinkerton, if I meet a delegation in Baltimore, from Baltimore rather, at Harrisburg, I would feel safe and I'll go on with them. Well, chillingly, when Lincoln arrived in Harrisburg on the evening of February 22nd, there was no Baltimore delegation there to meet him.
So he had gotten no kind of invitation from the governor, the mayor, from anybody in Maryland?
He had gotten no invitation from any public functionary, whatever. He had a couple of invitations from private citizens, from a few members of the Baltimore Republican Party, but they were almost non-invitations. The Baltimore Republican Party, for example, told him, "We don't think that you should go through any kind of parade or make any kind of public spectacle, but if you want to come here, we'd be happy to meet you, but we have to warn you, in essence, that most of the city council is all against us and even hostile towards us." So you could hardly regard that as an invitation with open arms.
If Lincoln thought that he himself was at risk on the train and decided to leave it, why did he not take his wife and two sons off that train? They rode the Lincoln Special into Baltimore.
In fact, they did. Lincoln felt that he was the target, and once he was removed from the train, that there would be no reason for any danger to anyone else. Of course, what he didn't anticipate was that the folks in Baltimore that were waiting for him would not believe the reports that had been sent telegraphically from Washington and elsewhere that he had already gone through Baltimore.
Your research found some possibility that John Wilkes Booth was part of this first plot also. What's your strongest evidence on that point?
I think the strongest evidence on that point is that Alan Pinkerton's reports indicated that he believed that Abraham Lincoln was being stalked at various cities along his route, and that the people that were watching him were in constant communication with the Baltimore plotters. They were communicating telegraphically and using codes. At the time that Lincoln was traveling to Washington, John Wilkes Booth, who was a Baltimore native, was born near Bel Air, Maryland, about 20 miles north of Baltimore, and actually lived at a home on North Exeter Street in his youth, was not in Baltimore the day that Lincoln was to pass through. Rather, he was acting in Albany, New York. Well, Albany, New York just happened to be one of the cities that Lincoln stopped at along his route. So he certainly had the opportunity to sort of be an advance man and watch for Lincoln and report back to conspirators in Baltimore what Lincoln's movements were. To me, however, the most stunning evidence that I found in my research was that in the conclaves that the Baltimore plotters had, where Pinkerton's operatives were infiltrating, one of the slogans, if you will, that the plotters used was borrowed right from Shakespeare and Julius Caesar, where following Caesar being murdered by Brutus, Brutus exclaims, "Not that I loved Caesar less, but Rome more." The Baltimore plotters, in contrast, were found to exclaim, "Not that I loved Lincoln less, but my country more." It doesn't take too much imagination to think that John Wilkes Booth may have been in attendance at one or more of those enclaves and tried to incite and inspire his colleagues with such pronouncements.
And he was a Shakespearean actor.
Absolutely.
Michael Klein, thanks very much.
Thank you, Sheila. I appreciate it.
The book is The Baltimore Plot, the first conspiracy to assassinate Abraham Lincoln. We've got more information at our website, wypr.org. And up ahead, Maryland Morning's literary critic, a writer in her own right. This is 88.1. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay tuned.